And take for our text this evening, verse 9 of Genesis chapter 8. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her, and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And friends, we know that it did not take long, even as we heard something of this morning, it didn't take long for the children of Adam to show the sinfulness of the sins of their father. And the outcome of the fall in their lives is particularly seen, the result of it here in what we have before us. We read in chapter 6 and verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth, make thee an ark, and so on. So we see that through that sinfulness that God spoke to Noah, warning him and instructing him. And so we see that also that God's instructions were carried out by Noah. And he builds then this ark, and we have an account of it there in chapter 6. And then the day came when he had to go into it in chapter 7, verse 1. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So we see that what is known to us all, even from the youngest child listening here tonight, that there was the ark, and those who were saved were those who were in the ark with Noah. And those who were outside, of course, perished. And that's a clear, of course, type for us. But we have to be careful with typology in these matters and for every single detail. But there is also a clear type there of salvation, indeed of Christ himself. We know that the ark was the only way of salvation. We know that Christ is the only way of salvation. There is no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And Noah could say there's no other way for any to be saved but those who come into this God's ark. And when God ultimately, friends, destroy this earth with a flood of holy wrath, which is going to do, who will be saved? Well, only a certain number. And who are they? Those whom God has saved, those whom God has loved, only those who are found in Christ, in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life, though he have not the Son has not life. And so that is the hope that all the people of God have, that they are in the ark, that they are in Christ. And that is a question for you and I tonight. Am I in Christ? Do I have that assurance that I am in him? And so I'd like us to think about that tonight, not so much maybe some other time to look at the ark, but with care the typology we can have here on the three headings. First of all, and briefly, we will look at Noah himself. And then secondly, consider the raven. And thirdly, consider the dove. Noah, the raven, and the dove. Well, a little then, first of all, about Noah. Now, one thing that strikes us about Noah at this time, we are told in chapter 7, verse 1, that God said to him, I have seen that they are righteous before me in this generation. He was a godly man. He was obviously a good example. And immediately, that is something that we can clearly say about him. As elsewhere in Scripture, we know, yes, he had difficulties and a fall, but he was a righteous man. But he was also, friends, he was a patient man. That, again, is a good mark also of a Christian. To be patient. And here was surely a patient man. He took years building, years and years building this ark. We don't know exactly how long. Maybe up to 100 years to build the ark. It took many, many years to build it. And then we see that once it was built, and then there was something he had to do. And this is what happened and what we have before us here. He was given particular instructions as to what to do. And so he goes into the ark and is there for a time until the waters start to decrease. In verse 5, we read the waters decreased continually until the 10th month and so on. The tops of the mountains were seen then. And then it came to pass at the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And yet he waited as further and further and further. Another 7 days, we read, and then other times after that. So quite a long period. He was in the ark. How was he thinking when he was there? What kind of thought process did he have as he considered the situation shut in there month after month after month? Some have worked out that he was possibly, some would even say exactly a year that he was there. But however long it was, he was there, and he was there because the Lord had put him there. And he was there also being obedient and patient, certainly, in what we see of him. He didn't immediately do anything other than to do what he knew the Lord would have him do. And even in sending out the raven and also then the dove, that there was also order in what he was doing there. But we also see something of his care in how he dealt with the dove. Remember when the kind of person he was when he sent out the dove. In verse 8, he sent forth that dove from him to see if the waters were abated. And then we read in verse 9 in our text there that he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto in the ark. And here he is. There's that picture with him that he is looking out for the dove. The picture is that he is there. He has sent her out, but he just doesn't leave her to itself. He is there with care, with concern, looking out for a return. There's a tenderness about him. What does he do as well? Read. He reaches out, he put forth his hand and took her. He reaches out for her. He reaches out of the window that was there. Now, what does that show us and tell us as well? As I said, he must have been looking out for her because she had gone, and he must have been keeping an eye, as it were, out for her, waiting. And isn't that how the Lord is with his own? Waiting to be gracious. And we read, he put forth his hand and he took her in, we read. And note as well, how it says there at the end of verse 9, he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him, into the ark. There is the idea there of a picture of being glad to see her and taking her in to himself. Taking her in, doesn't picture speak volumes as well? Who can think of that? Even our own situation. If we are Christians here tonight. You see, it wasn't that that the dove came and came in through the window and just did, but he took her in. You see the picture, if you think of heaven itself. And yes, to be in heaven is great, but it's that Christ is there. And who will welcome his own people in but himself? And his hand is reached out, his hand is not shortened, nor is he heavy. Pulled her in, he says, gathered her to himself. And what are you here tonight, Christian? But one who has been gathered in. Isn't that not what he has done for yourself, believer? The one who says, come unto me. He says, I am the way, come unto me. You see, it's not as even that we are left to ourselves. to find where to go. But there's a guiding in, there is a drawing by the Spirit. And that is what he's doing. He awaits there for us. He draws us to himself. We know we are told what we have to do. But at the end of the day, it's the Lord himself who will accept us. And it's the Lord himself who will welcome us into the ark. And so Noah then, in these way, few things, just as an introduction really, we see there Christ-likeness of Noah in the way that he dealt there with the dove, a Christlessness about him, where he reaches out and where he takes her to himself, pulled her in unto him in the ark, took her in where he was himself, took her in to where he was himself to care for her. Oh, he looked out for her. He was waiting her coming, and he reached out with it. He put forth his hand and took her. And you can see the picture here so clearly, can't we? Christ-likeness of Noah. But then let us consider, secondly, the raven. We read in verse 7, he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up of the earth. He sent forth a raven which went to and fro. The raven. Why did the raven not return in the way that the dove did, as we see later, happened afterwards, of course? Well, because the raven had found the environment that fully satisfied its horrible cravings and nature, quite content in what he found when he went out there. What would the raven have found? Thousands of carcasses floating in the water. Oh, what a feast for the raven. Exactly what its nature craved for. And while the raven was initially in the safety of the ark, with an abundance, no doubt whatsoever, would have been provided all that it needed there. It would all have been there. Whatever it needed, it wouldn't have gone hungry. And yet, now gorging itself away from the ark on the filth of this, what was now in the floods all around them. Here is one there now, is not giving us a lesson as well. It's a lesson there for us. How many are just like this? Partaking of the broken systems of this world. Maybe you're, tonight you can identify yourself in this. Thank the Lord that some can and have moved on from it. But if you're here tonight and this is still true of you, you moved away from, as it were, the clean, safe home background. You moved away that to another place. And now you have tasted of the broken systems of this world. You continue to seek fulfillment in them. And your natural desire is toward these things. That is your nature, and that's the nature of man as well, isn't it, without Christ, in the fallen nature. There is a desire for the things of this world. Is that a picture of you tonight, friend? Is that how it is with you? Oh yes, plenty out with the confines of the home, as it were, for you. That's what you want. You are leaving these things behind. You think that you've outgrown these things and no more of any good for you. Plenty out there to keep a person occupied, to fulfill all the lusts of the flesh, friend. And you say, well, I don't need that anymore. How often we can hear that, and maybe some of ourselves may have been of the same opinion. Well, I've grown out of these things. That's fine for them. I don't need the ark anymore. Turning your back on all that you had previously, all that was there before, that satisfied you before, but now you are finding satisfaction in the filth of this world and the things that are of no lasting value. And why, you say then, and you can just imagine, as it were, putting words in the mouth of the raven, why shouldn't I indulge myself in what I like? In what I want. Here's a feast of fine things of the worst kind. Why shouldn't I indulge myself? It's there for me. Oh, my friends, how many are like that? How many have turned their back on the goodness and the care and the kindness of God? How many have turned their back on the godly homes? How many have turned their back on their godly upbringing and background? People who cared for them, parents who cared for them, loved ones around them, who prayed for them, who satisfied them, who gave them all that you need. And then you, once you are, as it were, free from it, forgetting all these things and going your own way, sinful way. It's interesting as well, isn't it, that we read here, it seems that the raven initially came back to the ark. Verse 7, he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. It kept coming back to and fro. It seems that it came back to the ark a few times. It fed itself during the day, and then it would seem to come back to the ark in the evenings. But notice it's to the ark, not inside the ark. It was happy enough and content enough, as it were, having gorged itself, to sit on the ark, on the outside of the ark. And notice that Noah reached out for the dove, but there was no reaching out here now for this bird of prey. And so, more likely then that the raven came back and perched on the outside of the ark. Is there some lesson there for us as well? Well, isn't that how some are still? Happy to be in the world, happy to be up through the necks in the world, but then quite happy, as it were, to occasionally come back. Not into the church, but connected to the church. Quite happy in the world, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh all week. And then maybe on the Sabbath day, you're found back at the ark. You're found back at the church, even at church services. I don't know some of you even with these services. What have you been doing the rest of the week? What have you been engaged in? What have you been indulging yourself in? Are you like the raven? Or you may be even here tonight and yet not within the church. Truly part of it. You see, friend, for the raven, it would come and maybe be quite happy there, because you can imagine the turmoil outside. Yes, many carcasses. But for the night, to rest, having gorged itself. But not in the ark. So like the raven, having the best, as it were, I would imagine, again, if we can think of it as an animal or a bird that would have been thinking of things, having the best of both worlds. Having the best of both worlds without really being fully committed to the place of safety. Coming back to it occasionally just to satisfy and to rest, having gorged himself. My dear friend, let me say this to you. If this in some way or other is speaking to you tonight, if you can see yourself in this in any way whatsoever, you may not wish to enter the raven didn't. It wanted to be able to go, come and go as it pleased. But if you are like that, not wish to enter the ark with Christ now, you may think that, well, I'm there or thereabouts. I'm on the outside, yes, but I'm near enough. I am attached to the congregation of Stornoway. I am connected to them. I'm near enough. And then someday, well, I know what I'll do. When I feel like it, then I will go into the ark. But dear friend, the day will come when despite that wish to be saved, your door will be shut forever in your face. And you'll realize then, you should have gone, but now it's too late. What a fearful thought that someone in this gathering this evening, knowing all that you do, knowing all that you've heard, thinking of every opportunity that you've had, and yet here you are still outside the ark, partaking of these things that are of the world. Dear friend, are you like the raven then today? This is a picture of you, a picture of one seeking to satisfy itself in the things of this world, and yet coming and going and coming and going, hoping that all, I'm sure, will work out when it suits yourself in the end. My dear friend, the window of the gospel is open. Christ is willing to be gracious and to take you to himself if you will but come. That's the gospel offer. We heard about that this morning. The free offer of the gospel. If you will but come. This is what is required. But you cannot have a foot in both camps. And you cannot be partaking of the things of this world and expect then, as it were, to get into the ark whenever it suits. And so then we see the raven here. Nothing to commend it at all, despite it coming back to the ark from time to time. But then, thirdly, what about the dove? Well, we read of the dove here. He sent forth a dove to see if the waters were abated. The dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. And then 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out again. And that evening it came with an olive tree, an olive leaf plucked off, and knew that the waters were abated of the earth. Some say, interestingly, we speak still, don't we, about an olive branch, holding out an olive branch. And some commentators speak of this. We don't have time for that this evening, but you can think of that. It's a symbol of peace. A symbol of peace that the dove was coming. And the dove itself, that's it, were a herald of salvation. Some commentators see it in that way. However, that's another sermon. But what we see here, the dove is totally unlike the raven. Well, they were both birds, but they had a different nature. They ate different food. Different things satisfied them. Completely different things satisfied them. You see, the dove will not eat of the carcasses. That's not what it is. It's a clean bird. And so we see here is no food, no finding, no rest for the soul, no rest for his feet, nothing to eat that would satisfy it, it returned. You see, the dove would never be satisfied, even standing in a dirty place. You'll never find it in that way, in dirty mud or in dirty water. Her nature is different to the raven. And so we see the contrast is here, is it not, between the raven and the dove, clearly brought before us in their different nature. Whatever satisfies one never satisfies the other. The dove, the Lord himself, doesn't he speak about the Christian, harmless as doves as well? That's how we are to be. Now, what can we make of the fact that Noah sent out the dove? Well, sometimes when we think about ourselves, the Lord allows us license or liberty to consider the world. It may be even sometimes for a testing of ourselves. You think even the Lord Jesus, led by the Spirit into the terrible situation that he faced in the wilderness. And for ourselves at times, it may be that there are situations that we are faced with and we have to make, as it were, some decisions about it. But what is always true of the true believer? Ah, having tasted of the good things of God, never again finds full, complete satisfaction in the things of this world. Not like the raven, but the dove. Having tasted, having been fed, having been nurtured, having been cared for by Noah. And so the Christian, having come to know where there was safety and know where there was peace, always returning to the safety of the ark at this point here. And because for the dove there was nothing out there that would attract. Nothing compared to the ark itself. And again, isn't that like yourself, believer? Notice again that the dove did when it returned. He put forth his hand and took her and pulled her into the ark. But you see, she returned to the ark, but ultimately could only enter in because the window was open and Noah reached out for her. It wasn't that there was an open, you know how it is with doves. Now we see, we can see them ourselves, and some people may know more about this than I do. And they come back to where they are and they go inside themselves. But the picture here is of Noah reaching out, put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in into him, into the ark. You see, the dove could go so far, but it was Noah who took her back in. And so it is. And the Christian recognizes this. You recognize that while you knew much, it was only, and the ark was an obvious thing to see here. But while you knew much, it was only the Lord himself who gathers you in to himself. This is what's true, surely, of every believer. And what is true, is it not, of you again, is that you never again find full, complete satisfaction in the world. And what do? You always want to return to the safety of the ark. This is the great desire. And will the Christian not say, to whom else can I go? Thou alone is the words of eternal life. The dove knew where safety lay. And having looked around at the polluted world that was there then, realized nothing here for me. Do you know what that is like? Nothing here for me in this world. Oh, let me get back to the ark. Let me stay with Christ. Let me stay with my mind fixed on the place that is there for me. Oh, sometimes we wander. We look crazily at backsliding. Sometimes we wander away. But even then, there is this desire, is there not? Oh, let me get back to where I once was. That's where there is safety. And we notice here the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet. Do you know what that is like? Ah, you know what it's like now. Maybe you didn't at one time. But now you have come to realize what is here. Once maybe you were content in the world. Once maybe you were happy enough and content enough to partake in of all the filthy carcasses of this world, as it were. Is it so still with yourself? Or are you saying, oh, there's nothing here that will give me peace? There's nothing here that will feed my soul. There is nothing here to compare with my communion and fellowship with the Lord. What is there out there in the world, and we have to be in the world but not of it, friends. What is there in the world offers only temporary relief. But in Christ there's full satisfaction of soul. My dear friend, tonight, if you're listening and you still don't know this for yourself, oh, come to Christ while you still have opportunity. Why was there no rest for the dove? Ah, because she was just that, a dove. She was still a dove. She didn't have the nature of the raven. Even flying out amongst the dead and stinking corruption of the drowned world, still a dove. And there was no attraction there for us. And the Christian, once he's a Christian, whatever else may come with temptations, but at the end of the day, nothing will satisfy like this. No rest in the world for him. We are in the world, but we are not of it. We're a different nature from the world as well. It was so then here with this dove. In the world, yes, we can backslide, as we mentioned, but what do we find? When we turn again to the Lord, what do we find? His arms are out to us. He is willing to accept us. He reaches out for us. Remember the story we have of the prodigal son and the father there reaching out, as it were, with open arms to welcome him and to hug him, to take him again into his bosom. And that's the wonder of grace of what the Lord is doing for us. So it is here with Noah. And just as Noah's eye was ever on the lookout, as it were, for the dove to come back, the same thing, haven't we, with the prodigal and his father. His father saw him afar off. Why? Because he was looking out for him. And Noah was looking out for the dove. And the Lord continues in his grace, friend, to look out for you. Oh, don't wander away from him. Here is what we need for us. Oh, yes, we occasionally wander. But in repenting and in seeing again what the world has to offer, reminded when we go into it, are we not at times, sometimes these things happen, come before us. Oh, how did I ever want these things? How was I ever involved in such foolishness? And we flee back by grace to the safety of Christ in the ark. And you know what? He delights to have us back and is willing to have us back. So then, friends, here's the dove. He knew the direction of where to return to find rest and food for that would satisfy his hunger, but it still took Noah to reach out and to bring her in unto himself. There's much here, friends, to instruct us. Much here to instruct us. Maybe someone here tonight is saying, oh, well, I've gone too far. I wandered away in my life from the Lord. There was a time when I was so near, I could, as it were, see his hand, but I wandered away from her. And I'm even scared now to pray about these things. I'm so ashamed of my life. My friend, you return to where you know he is, and you'll find him willing and able to save to the uttermost, with stretched out hands, willing to accept you to himself, to take you to his bosom, whether it's the second or the third or the first time even. In repentance, if we turn, he will take us to himself, pulled her in unto him, into the ark. Well, friend, the question tonight for you is this. Am I like the raven or the dove? What satisfies me most? Is it this world's corruption and all that it offers? Or is it thought of safety with Christ? You know how you answer that question. The raven and the dove were both, of course, here initially in the ark. And how often it can be that both the wayward and the subservient can be initially found within the same household. Some of us know that in our own families, but with different natures, as it were. What satisfies one can never satisfy the other. The grace of God is needed to make any of us who are ravens into doves. But he does it. He does it. What is every dove tonight but one who was once a raven, as it were? And amazing, the grace of God is there for any and all who will come to him. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Think of that picture, friend, of Noah reaching out. Christ is willing in the gospel to reach out as well. And in the gospel hour, holy Noah still willing to take, to pluck you as a brand from the burning, still stinking of this world maybe, still polluted in a sense with it. He will clean you. He will make you clean, willing to have you to himself. And if you are somebody who has wandered away from the Lord, he is still willing and able to have you back in the safety and the shelter of the ark. The question is, are you still seeking satisfaction in the husks and the carcass of this sinful world? Or are you seeking satisfaction in Christ? Some of us know this in our own experience. And our prayer, my prayer tonight is, your own situation, that you would know what it is to turn to Christ and to find that glorious welcome, willing and able to save even to the uttermost. May the Lord bless his own word to us. Let us pray.